Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Alrighty, here we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. So far, you have the New York Knicks up 1-0 against the Boston Celtics, as the New York Knicks last night were down 20, and then OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson, they came alive, and I thought Jalen Brunson was going to win that game right at the buzzer, and that shot did go in and out, and he just missed that bunny right at the buzzer, which was a great, great pass by Karl Anthony Towns. And then you saw the Knicks in overtime finally get something out of Mikal Bridges on the offensive end. His defensive game is the only reason why he was still in the game. And Karl Anthony Towns came alive with, let's be real, through the first 48 minutes, he was really underwhelming. So heck of a victory by the Knicks. Boston also missed 45 three-pointers. I knew that they missed a lot because at one point during the game I said they missed 43 pointers. But when I read this morning that the number, just to make sure that I wasn't delirious and I wasn't dreaming of something, that the number was 45, that was just still wild, absolutely wild to see. But you continue to keep that moving. The Indiana Pacers, they look to take a 2-0 series lead tonight. There's a lot of injury problems right now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we'll see who's going to be available for the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. It's a lot of, you had three guys that missed shoot around. So now that is of concern. What's going to happen with the Cleveland Cavaliers? And then you look at the Denver Nuggets. Just like the Knicks, they won a game that probably they shouldn't have won with how the majority of the game did go. And when you look back at that Nuggets and Thunder game, I think that was the first time you saw the inexperience of the Oklahoma City Thunder, where it was, okay, you were at home. You felt like you were going to win a game. Your coach says, okay, we're going to foul up three. And after that, you get Nikola Jokic back in the game. And not only that, Chet Holmgren, who's a really good young basketball player, just missed those two free throws at the end. And then how about, when you saw Russell Westbrook, Stu, because Russell Westbrook was on the Lakers for what, one season, right? Half a season?
I think it was more like two. It was like one and a half to two, yeah.
Was that two seasons,
yeah,
really?
I believe so.
Wow. So you know what to get with Russ. Because even though Russ is a phenomenal basketball player, how many times you see him do something and you go, oh, what the heck is he doing? And Russell Westbrook, even going back to, it was Denver and Los Angeles. And that one game that they won in overtime, there were so many moments where you looked at, he was going to be the hero, then the zero, then back to being the hero, especially when he made that steal at the end of the game right off the inbounds pass. But anyway, Russell Westbrook last night, when he's dribbling that ball right towards the end of the game, after the second Chet Holmgren missed free throw, and it's only a one-point game, right? And they just take the basketball and go. When you see Russ just dribbling, like, out of control in an uncontrollable fashion, aren't you thinking that he's going to have a turnover? Or he's going to dish off the ball with no time left? And then he dishes off the ball to Aaron Gordon, which Aaron Gordon was open, so you take the shot. But when he's taking a three, I'm saying to myself, what are they doing? They're only up one. They're only down one. Like, you don't need a three here. Get an easy two, but that's the NBA now. And even, I don't know if you saw this, the analysts, because it's not on local TV anymore. It's all national, these games, after the first round. So all the guys that usually do and the guys and gals that usually do the Nuggets games, they're in studio back in Denver. And their reactions getting recorded in the studio, and the three people that were a part of the broadcast are all saying, no, 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 yes, and then celebrating. And that's the game, really, of Russell Westbrook into the Aaron Gordon three, and then Aaron Gordon ends up winning it. And what Nikola Jokic is doing right now, you know, he feels underappreciated to me, which is weird to say about the best player in the league who's won three MVPs. Because he gets these games now, 40-plus points, 20-plus rebounds, you know, is the fourth player in the history of the NBA postseason at 40-plus rebounds, 20-plus 40-plus points, 20-plus rebounds, and 5-plus assists. Only four players have done that in NBA postseason history now. Nikola Jokic on that list. And he had an unbelievable game last night. I know everybody talks about Aaron Gordon, but because he had the big shot at the end with the cojones, you look at Nikola Jokic, what else is there to say? If you say his game's boring or you can't enjoy his game, then I don't want to watch sports with you. Because this dude, night in and night out, is just like a walking 40 points and 20 rebounds. And he just makes it look so easy. Like, that's the part. If I didn't like the Nuggets, which I actually like Denver and I like Nikola Jokic, and I've been a big supporter of his for a while, going back to the bubble, I said Jamal Murray is good enough to be the, you know, in a Batman-Robin relationship, he'd be the Robin if Nikola Jokic is the Batman. And he just got to be healthy, and they did win a championship together. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I was optimistic about the Nuggets heading into the postseason because they fired Michael Malone and Calvin Booth, who won a championship together, who's the coach and the GM, 3 games before the postseason started. So I didn't think that was going to all work out. But what Nikola Jokic is doing right now as a player is elite, but he's also been this out-of-this-world type of coach because, you know, Adelman, I know he comes from a family of basketball coaches in Adelman, but he's not, like, he doesn't look ready to be the head coach of a team that's in the second round of the postseason. So now you're seeing Nikola Jokic. I know Ryan Holland said he's been vocal before, not to this level. He looks like he's coaching the team. And he's coaching the team now to the second round of the postseason. They have a 1-0 lead up against a team from a record standpoint that's the best team in the league in the Oklahoma City Thunder. So Knicks up 1-0 against Boston. Pacers up 1-0 against the Cavs. Nuggets up 1-0 up against the Thunder. And I saw that Brian Windhorst was on ESPN Cleveland earlier today. And he said Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and DeAndre Hunter all missed shoot-around earlier this morning. And Windy pointed out, hey, there is something to read into that because typically if you don't do shoot-around, that's not a good sign that you're going to play. Now, can they play? Sure, it's the postseason. It's different. But you have Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and DeAndre Hunter all missing shoot-around. Now, maybe Garland's going to play because he basically told Jared Greenberg, who's the courtside reporter now for NBA on TNT for this series, he said, yeah, I'm going to play, and that was after game one. So maybe with his injury, they're not trying to rush him out on the court for shoot-around. He just knows he's going to be ready to go for the game. But if you get one of those guys to play, I think it's a win for the Cavs. If you get two, I'd be surprised. If all three play, I'd be shocked. If you could just get one, you take it. But I'll tell you right now, I look around at the NBA postseason. I'll ask this poll question right now, and I'll give you my answer on it. And we'll go around the room and get the answer as well. Knicks, Nuggets, Pacers are all up 1-0 on the Celtics, Thunder, and Cavaliers, respectively. Which team up 1-0 do you trust the most to actually win this series? The early returns on this poll question right now, which you can find at Zach Gelb at INF Sportsnet, 49.7% say the Denver Nuggets, 35.8% say the Indiana Pacers, and 14.6% say the New York Knicks. Go, New York, go, New York, go. Stu, what's your answer here? What's your answer and why? Out of the teams that are up 1-0, Pacers, Nuggets, and Knicks, who do you think has the best chance to go win three more games in the series?
So I'm between the Pacers and the Nuggets. I think I'm going to go with the Pacers mainly because of the Cavs' injuries and the Cavs never really being here before. Now, you can say the same thing about the Thunder not being here, but I think when you combine the injuries that the Cavs have with that, I think the Pacers, I think they're going to win the series.
And that would be back-to-back years that the Pacers would get to the conference finals.
Yeah, under the radar. Under the radar.
Because I was at that game two, Knicks-Pacers, where I think the Knicks did get the victory, but you had injuries to OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson wasn't healthy in that series, and that wasn't a fully loaded Knicks team, but they ended up losing in seven. And that would be back-to-back years. The Pacers go to the conference finals. Wow, that would be something. So your order, just so I got you right, was Pacers 1, Nuggets 2.
And then the Knicks, I would have a distant 3.
And then the Knicks at 3. All right, Samter, what would be your order here?
I'm going to be boring. I'm going to go Nuggets 1, Pacers 2, Knicks 3. I think the Knicks, kind of what Ryan Holland said, they used everything that they had to claw back from that 20-point deficit. The Celtics literally had to do everything wrong and just miss three after three after
45
three.
45 of them.
I'm watching Jason Tatum just do step back three after step back three, clank, clank, clank in the fourth quarter. That's not them. They're going to fix it. They're championship team. So the Knicks, I think 5-6. I don't think it's going to be a series.
Here's the only thing that I'll say about the Celtics. They won a championship last year, right? Give them credit.
Yeah.
Now, they did overachieve in the early part of that tenure of Tatum and Brown, especially when you had injuries to Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, right? And then that team got so close, but yet so far, where it's like, okay, like you went from overachieving originally. I think I said underachieve, but I think you went from overachieving originally to then you were underachieving. And there were some bad losses in there. Now, you've won a championship, so all those years you underachieved kind of did go away for those 3 to 4 years where they had some bad losses. Do they pop back up here? That's like now everyone gives them the benefit of the doubt. They deserve the benefit of the doubt. But now Kristaps Porzingis being hurt, and we don't know when he's going to come back, and they keep on saying it's an illness, but who the heck knows what's going on with him? Maybe they go back to being the Boston Celtics and underachieve? I don't think it's crazy, but I'm with you guys. I do think out of the three, with all that being said, the Knicks would be in at 3, which is kind of funny because I think the Knicks, Nuggets, and Pacers, if you just look at the construction of the roster, I think the Knicks are the best team out of the three. Now, the Nuggets clearly have the best player in Nikola Jokic. The Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton is underappreciated. The fact that this dude was voted the most overrated player in the league, what is it, just because it's small market? And it's like, all right, that's a good team, not a great team? Yeah, give me a break. This guy is a heck of a basketball player. The only thing wrong with him is his father's a pain in the ass. Going back to when the father was celebrating Giannis Antetokounmpo's face. Is there something going on with this soccer game right now?
There is, but you don't want to have to get into it. Let's just say this is one of the greatest soccer matches that's ever been played.
Okay, because I'm giving this take. I'm spinning fire right now, and I thought that, like, there was something going wrong with you, or you're going to have to leave the studio.
No. Well, I mean, yeah.
The two of you.
Yeah, I mean, I told you. This is one of the most insane soccer matches in the history.
What's going on with the little football?
So this is the Champions League, which is basically the biggest
FC
tournament.
FC Barcelona, my team is playing.
Yeah, so Barcelona is playing in the semifinals against Inter Milan.
They're my team. How are we doing?
Well, not great. So
wait, hold on. I'm like Manny right now. I'm saying they're my team. I'm not even watching them.
It's like me with the Rangers. The Rangers are my team. I couldn't name 3 players on them right now.
Until you run into Mark Messi on the train. You're like, oh, Messi, I love you. Huge fan.
Messi is a different story. But let's just put it this way. So this is the semifinals. Each team plays the same team in the semifinals twice.
What tournament is this?
The Champions League, which is like the biggest tournament.
I know the Champions League.
Champions League is a big deal.
Yeah.
Right?
There's just so many of them.
The combined score of these two matches, the winner advances. Okay, so in the first match, it was 3-3 between these two teams, Barcelona and Inter Milan.
Wait, no, hold on. Advanced, like...
To the finals.
So this is semifinals.
This is the semifinals. Okay. The combined score of the two matches, you advance. So the first match was 3-3. This match, Inter Milan came out 2-0. Barcelona tied the game, which it doesn't happen. When you're down 2-0, it's Barcelona. Rare that you tie the game. Then they took the lead. Then Inter scored a goal with, like, 30 seconds 3-3? Left to tie it. And just before the game was about to go into overtime, maybe the best young player in the entire world, Yamal, who plays for Barcelona, he's 20 years old.
Was this in stoppage time?
This was a 96th minute, just before they drew the whistle. He comes in to give them the win, and he hits it right at the goalie, and it gets saved. Now we're in overtime.
Oh, he didn't make it.
He didn't make it. So now we're in overtime.
Oh, you set it up like he made it.
No, which is incredible. This would be the equivalent of like LeBron James missing a layup to win the NBA, to advance the NBA finals.
Okay.
All right? So that's the equivalent of how close this goal was from one of the best players in the world. Now we're in overtime, and Inter just scored again. It is now 4-3 in this game, 7-6 overall in aggregate. This is incredible.
So it's an overtime.
It's an overtime isn't like a golden boot. It's not like, you know, hockey where one goal you win.
I know my soccer.
Okay, so you play 2 15-minute overtime periods. If it's tied afterwards, then you have PKs.
Well, they even do PKs still in this?
Yeah, they do, because this is tournament-based. Tournament-based, they do PKs.
Didn't have 1 year the World Cup ended in PKs?
Yes. That was with Italy. Was that Italy-France?
Well, that was France-Argentina 2 years ago.
Yeah, look at that. There you go. You guys are impressed by that knowledge.
Mr. Soccer over here, Zach.
Mr. Soccer. But actually, call me Pele.
Italy, France. Also, you talk about Zidane and the headbutt. That ended in a PK. And Zidane, who's one of the best PK kickers in the game, couldn't play because he got the red card for the headbutt.
Yeah, I still think it's an unbelievable moment. I think it's my favorite moment with soccer. So, man, I wasn't expecting that. So you guys are that glued into it.
Well, I was going to answer your conversation here that you were talking about.
Are these your teams here? No? Do you guys root for
not my team.
Because is there ever a stop with the soccer stuff? Every day there's a new tournament, new thing, and there's a game. Like, when do you guys, you know, get a little management day and not watch this stuff?
Well, here's the thing about soccer, right? Like, we talk about the NBA. There's one league. It's the NBA.
Yeah.
Soccer has leagues all around the world. So just
Stu's a big MLS guy.
Yeah, so just when the MLS ends, then you have the Premier League, then you have the La Liga, then you have the World Cup. There's a million different leagues and activities going on. So soccer is a year-round thing.
It's too much. That's why I think I never got into soccer. There's too many things.
There's a little break in July.
Ask Stu if it's too much.
No, but to me, it's not too much.
Yeah, but this would be like if I was a fan of a single-A baseball team and then followed the double-A baseball team and the triple-A baseball team and the Major League Baseball team all in the same season. That would be how much time you new teams, new tournaments. It's way too much.
And then the guys go to their countries and play for their countries during the quote-unquote off-season.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Who is your team? If you could just pick one team in soccer.
Liverpool.
Oh, that you're wearing the hat.
Yes, the hat, yes.
Santa, who is your team? If you could just pick one team. Only watch one team for the rest of your life in soccer.
It's Brentford.
Okay.
So Brentford is the team I worked for when I lived in London in 2001.
Oh, is that the team that sends you the free stuff?
No, that was Wrexham.
Oh, okay.
Wrexham is Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' team, who just achieved the first ever triple promotion in the history of English soccer. They went from the National League to League Two to League One.
Sam's trying to get that free scarf again.
And now they're in the Championship, the first time in English soccer history that a team got promoted 3 consecutive years.
Can they send us some swag after that? You know, that was. So who's your second favorite team?
So for me, it's Brentford and then Wrexham, and then Barcelona is like my number 3.
Okay. Stu, who's your favorite second team? You don't have one.
Real Madrid.
Definitely not Real Madrid. No.
Is that some inside soccer humor because he said Liverpool
first? I don't like Real Madrid. I hate Real Madrid. I'd have to think about that. I really don't have. Probably Wolverhampton, which is another Premier League team that I just kind of like.
So you're
a
Liverpool guy, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's your team.
That's my team, yes.
And how often do you wake up on the weekends to watch them?
Every weekend.
At what time?
Depends on what time they play. Sometimes.
What's the earliest?
7:30 Eastern.
Oh, my God. And your girlfriend's fine with that? You waking up at 7:30 on a Sunday or Saturday?
I mean, she's usually not getting up with me.
Yeah, I don't blame her. I would say go sleep on the couch. How dare you wake me up on a Saturday or Sunday morning? You know, go get a bag of chips and go sleep on the couch. You'd be lucky if I bring you a blanket. Anyway, I will answer my part of the poll question here as we got distracted and I just got a history lesson in soccer. Let me know if FC Barcelona wins. I got a hat and a scarf in my closet. Maybe I could end up wearing it tomorrow and I come on in and act like a Fugazi soccer fan. Oh, my God. Manny Rodriguez, is there ever a sport that this guy doesn't comment on? First thing I see on Twitter, oh my God, Barcelona!
He's a Barca fan, so.
And then he followed up as, why does Barca do this every year? Manny likes too many teams, if we're being honest. He needs a little break from the sports world. But anyway, to answer this poll question, the teams that are up 1-0 in the NBA playoffs, if I had to rank the likelihood of them winning 3 more games, I would say it's the Nuggets are 1. I'm in the same order as Samter. It's the Nuggets 1 just because they have the best player in the league in Nikola Jokic. Then it would be the Indiana Pacers 2, who I'm actually annoyed with myself. I picked the Pacers and the Cavs in 7 before the start of the series, but I wanted to pick the Pacers. I was texting them. I'm like, I kind of think the Pacers have a really good chance in this series. The Cavs probably win in 7 is the way that I said it, though. I'm very disappointed with myself. But we'll see what happens after tonight. But I think the injury is going to catch up to the Cavs. So I go Pacers 2, and then the Knicks 3. Knicks 3, Pacers 2, and then the Nuggets in at number 1. When you look at the teams that are up 1-0 in the series right now and who has the best chance to go on out there and end up winning three more games in that series to advance to the conference finals. What say you? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will come on back a little overreaction, proper reaction on a Tuesday.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
Alrighty, Overreaction, Proper Reaction time on the Zach Gelb Show on a Tuesday. Stu, I actually have an Overreaction, Proper Reaction for you.
Okay.
Question right out of the gate. About 20 minutes ago, Stuart Kovacs tweeted out, "Nothing is better than Champions League knockout matches this time of the year. Nothing. Overreaction, proper reaction. If Stu's Los Angeles Lakers were still in the NBA playoffs, he would still find the Champions League more entertaining than his Lakers on a postseason run."
I think that's an overreaction. I think this is a better product.
Wow.
I genuinely think that this is a better product.
Overreaction or proper reaction? Stu is locked in on this show today.
That's a proper reaction. I could do both.
Sources say it could be an overreaction.
Uh-oh.
And to be fair, the tweet did come at 4:56 p.m. Eastern time, so that was in a break.
That was on my way to the men's room, yes.
Okay. I have some news on Bill Belichick, by the way. I got boots on the ground. Boots on the ground. Uh-oh. Do you know where Bill Belichick is today?
I I don't.
He is in New York. And Bill Belichick is at a public event right now. It's a New York University event with Bill Belichick and Susie Welsh. You could buy tickets to this. Someone that I know bought tickets to it and went to watch Bill Belichick speak. No sign. Jordan Hudson.
Wow.
No sign of Jordan Hudson at the event. I thought if they were going to be in New York, they'd be at the Met Gala or something like that. A little book appearance. No Jordan Hudson. That's what I was told from a source. A source that is sending me the video as we speak of Bill Belichick getting introduced. So anyway, we can continue.
All right.
Big news there. Jordan Hudson not at the event. She's day-to-day, I hear. What do we got?
So Matthew Stafford and the Rams agreed to a new deal a few weeks ago, but they didn't finalize the exact details until yesterday. The reworked deal includes $84 million in guarantees over the next 2 years, including $40 million if he's on the roster at the start of the next league year. Now, last week, Sean McVay joined Adam Schein and discussed Stafford's future with the team.
I think he came out of this season feeling really good physically, and so we have a chance with him every time he's at the switch. And love working with him, and I think he's got he can play as long as he wants, but fortunately, I'm hoping it's a couple more years.
Overreaction or proper reaction, Matthew Stafford still has two high-level years left in him.
I think so. I think that's a proper reaction. Anything north of that, I wouldn't feel comfortable with saying, but I saw enough from him last year where I think he'd still be a great quarterback. So I do think he has two high-level years left in him, especially with the team that they've built around him in L.A., and you got rid of Cooper Kupp, and I thought you upgraded bringing in Davante Adams, and you still got Puka Nacua there. So I think that's a proper reaction.
Aiden Hutchinson.
By the way, you think Samter went to the bathroom again?
He might have, honestly. If he's not back by now, that's usually the case.
I'm getting concerned about this. This is now
second time in a week, right?
Second time in a week where he's had to left the show to run to the bathroom, and he's like away for 7 or 8 minutes. So that's stomach.
He doesn't have any food here like last time, so it still could be stomach though. I don't know what he had earlier.
Who knows? He was eating Chinese food before the show today.
All the different.
We may have
foods.
To have an intervention with him, Stu. It's like The Sopranos when they sit down Christopher Moltisanti when he has a drug problem. We may need to sit him down and be like, you have a food problem. Here he comes around the corner. Uh-oh. Is he on the phone? Can you see him? Do you see Samter there? He's on the phone.
He's on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
What's going on with Samter? All right. Let's act like we weren't just talking about it. Next question.
All right. Aiden Hutchinson is rehabbing his leg after that devastating injury last year. A new video was released showing the Lion star doing drills.
Santa's going to have a leg injury, a devastating leg injury, if you don't get back in a second. I'll tell you that.
With a sleeve on his leg, but some have pointed out that he still looks a bit slow and without significant burst. Overreaction or proper reaction, Hudson will be as good as he was before the injury.
That's a proper reaction. I'm not going to freak out with the video right now about Aiden Hutchinson not looking 100%. So I will go proper reaction there.
All right, Tyreek Hill just can't stay out of the news. While he's not demanding a trade this time, he put out a video where he ranked his top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
He said, could I rank my top five quarterbacks? Lamar, Josh, Pat, obviously. No, this is no order, by the way. Baker Mayfield. And Joe Shiesty, too.
And, of course, noticeably absent from the list was his teammate, Tua Tagovailoa. Overreaction or proper reaction, Hill leaving his own quarterback, Tua, off of the list is a sign of trouble.
That's a proper reaction. Not that I think Tua Tagovailoa is anywhere close to being a top five quarterback in the league, but how often Tyreek Hill has gone out of his way to praise Tua Tagovailoa, and he put him on this list last year with Baker Mayfield, and now he picked Baker over Tua, which I would rather have Baker over Tua, but I still think it's a concern because if your guy isn't a top five guy, you should probably still say it, especially when you were someone that was requesting a trade after the final game of the season and you walked that back. So Hill leaving his own QB Tua off that list is a sign of trouble. Yeah, there's a lot of signs of trouble with Tyreek Hill, so I will go proper reaction there.
Giants owner John Mara is reportedly looking to sell a 10% stake in the team, a move that has drawn interest from some big names. Now, one report says that Eli Manning is looking to find a group to purchase a share, while his former teammate Michael Strahan has already joined a different billionaire to bid on the team, creating an interesting competition. overreaction or proper reaction, the Giants would be better off with Eli as a part owner rather than Strahan.
Can I ask a question? How the heck am I supposed to answer that? How do I have any idea what Eli Manning would be as an owner and Michael Strahan would be as an owner? I have no clue. Who would be a better owner, Michael Strahan or Eli Manning?
They're kind of more the figurehead.
Yeah,
I
right?
I don't think they're the owner. Yeah. They come to the games, they say hello, and it's like, oh, one of the owners. Like, you know, John Elway. Elway was a little more involved, but you know.
Sure, well, he was the president of football operations. Yeah. I would rather see Strahan over Eli. All right? I saw Strahan at the Knicks game the other week, so if I have to see him again, I don't want it to be in any issues or anything.
I go Eli.
Okay, we'll have a big debate about that.
Only because here's my reason. I don't know how I came up with this, but I think Strahan would be more of the, we got to do something now, and Eli would be, stay the course, we're going to be okay. That's the only reason I take him.
We'll make the playoffs twice, but then when I make the playoffs, we'll win the championship.
Strahan would be in the coach's face if they didn't make the playoffs.
I would rather have Strahan because he did that whole stomp you out thing. So if he doesn't like a player, when they cut him, we'll stomp you out of the organization.
There you go.
So the Giants would be better off with Eli as a part owner than Strahan. Yeah, I guess overreaction. I'm not praising Eli Manning. I'm not doing it.
All right.
Even though he's one of my favorite guests we've ever had on the show. What a question. Go ahead.
The Saints didn't take a quarterback in the first round of the draft, but they did take Louisville's Tyler Shuck in the second round to compete with Spencer Rattler and Derek Carr. Though longtime Saints reporter Mike Triplett thinks that Carr's time in New Orleans is likely over.
Do the Saints need to set a deadline with Carr?
Yeah, I think they do. I really think they do. This isn't like a contract negotiation where you know what the end result is going to be. The end result of this is almost certainly that he's not going to be playing for this team. I would say they absolutely need to set a deadline if there's any chance of him playing for this team. And that is, I think it's already passed. It's got to be shown up for OTAs by May 20th. If there's any chance he's going to play on this team or remain on this team in a leadership role, I think he has to be here for all of OTAs.
So overreaction or proper reaction, Derek Carr will not take another snap for the Saints.
There's something nefarious going on here where he was speaking, I think it was at like a church event, and he was clapping back at people that were questioning his shoulder injury. Like Adam Schefter even said something's going on here. And it does feel as if something's going on here. So I'm going to assume that Derek Carr will not take another snap for the Saints. So I do think that is a proper reaction. Now, we have put out a picture online at Zach Gelb. I don't know what the heck is going on with my left eye because I've had something stuck in my eye for the last 35 minutes, and I have no, like, I don't know what the heck it is, but I keep on blinking like a million miles an hour. But anyway, we have put a photo up online. It's one Zach Gelb or 100 Michael Samters. And this is the photo, so you could actually see it. But I know that you have commented on this. And right before you commented on it, I said, stop, we'll save your opinion on the air. You have a take here on 100 Samters or one Zach Gelb.
I go 100 Samters. Because, and here's my rationale.
He's a pain in the ass?
Well, that could be
He's
there.
He's tough to get away?
But you got to figure, even though you know you have the size advantage and yada, yada, but you got 100 of them. So you got to think that 30 of them, I took that number. You got to think 30 of them.
To grab my left leg?
Know how to fight. You know, maybe 15 Scrappy know how to fight. Sandra. Maybe 15 are dirty. You know, get down in the mud. You know, 10, 15 of them, they're probably useless.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of other guys will be happy to help out. You know, I just think the strength in numbers kind of pays off there. It's like, it's sort of like when the wrestlers did the battle royale. You know, they're like Iron Mike Sharp. You know, he's like one of the first guys to go. You know, then a couple of gang up on each other, so it makes it easier to throw out like a Tony Atlas or something like that.
This is your best take ever.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's like,
even though it involves me getting my ass kicked.
Yeah, well, see, you got to figure, you know, like, there got to be like 30 Samters that can just gang up, you know, like maybe 10 of them, you know, will, you know, I mean, I'm not doubting your strength, but I'm just saying, let's say 10 Samters grab your legs and like another like kind of gives you
stomp
a clothesline.
I'll stomp on them. It's like Dance Revolution,
yeah, but
whack-a-mole.
But there are just, I think there are too many. Like if it was like you had 10 Samters, I'd give you a better shot, but 100, I just think there are just too many Samters like floating around there that are going to cause some damage somewhere.
So one gorilla or 100 people?
I go, well, that's a good one. I go the 100 people.
Wait, have you not heard this?
No, I've never heard that.
Oh, this has been the whole thing for the last week. Oh. That's why we've ended up going here. So now I feel like I'm talking to my father when there's a big social media trend, and he's like, I have no clue what's going on. So one gorilla, 100 people.
Well, you got to figure some of those 100 people know how to handle the gorilla.
Yeah.
You know,
at least, a lot would run in the other direction.
Yeah, exactly. But there's some idiots in there.
You're going the 100 people.
Yeah, well, there's some idiots in there that are like, all right, I want in, you know? And then there are some that are like, hey, I know how to handle this. So
get like a bunch of UFC fighters. Yeah, they have no
maybe
fear.
The gorilla ties himself out against the idiots that say, I want in, and get their tuchus kicked. You know, but I don't know. I if I'm gonna take 100 Samsters here, I got to take 100 people. I got to be consistent.
Gotcha. So I'm the gorilla in this situation, and 100 people are the Samsters.
You know, as I said, maybe like 20 of those Samsters like hold your legs. Another like come on, you know, the cross body block. It's like when the defensive back and the linebacker go up down on the receiver, and he goes does the helicopter.
Now, Samter, I'm just gonna ask you a very simple question. Just give me the answer here, no explanation. One Zach Gelb up against one Michael Samter, who wins in a fight?
I mean, I think it would be closer than you think, but you'd win. You got me by 100 pounds.
I just need the answer. See, I know where Samter's going with this, because he's crazy that he thinks that it would be close between him and I in a fight, which is fine.
It's like that line from Friends when they go, Red Ross. Yeah. And Joey goes, Dead Ross.
So now I ask Samter, 100 Samters against one Zach Gelb. You're easily taking the 100 Samters.
Oh, not even close. I'm taking 50 Samters over Zach Gelb.
Ooh, okay. That's fine.
Here's what's going to happen. One of the Samters is going to kneel down behind you. 40 Samters are going to push you.
Over?
You're going to fall down. You're going to be on the ground. And we're just going to jump on top and you're done.
It's a good strategy. Just if you're killing me, can I get like fed like Peter Luger or something for my last meal?
I just want to see when you're on the ground. It's like Zach's like picking up, I'm up, throwing him off.
I'm like the Undertaker coming back from the dead.
Get out of there.
Ack, I'll tell you, I'm very happy that I cut you off before you were trying to explain what you were explaining. But Ack came running around the corner, and Ack was moving at a high speed rate. And I'm like, what's the matter? And he goes, I have an opinion on 100 Samters or one Zach Gelb. And you had this big smile. I go, tell me at 5:30.
No, that's my rationale. Whether I'm right or wrong, who knows? I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong.
Well, Samter, how many Samters are there currently right now in the world? Around?
There's probably about like 20 of us.
All right,
15.
Start becoming Antonio Cromartie. Pop out a few more kids, and then we can see 100 Samters up against one Zach Gelb. That's what we end up doing. Yeah.
Now, are they all the same age, though? I'm assuming they're the same age. If you got, like, Samter at 5,
right.
It doesn't work, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to be, like, beating up old man Samter, like the grandfather, with this cane, and I'm just, like, hitting him over the head, elderly abuse.
You know what? You take the good, you take the bad, because right now, 45-year-old Samter is, he gets tired very easily.
Yeah, that's
25-year-old
true.
Samter can scrap. 19-year-old Samter was on the wrestling team, or 18-year-old Samter was on the wrestling team, right?
This played portion baseball, of the program is football. Brought to you by Samter's Glory Days. We hear about Samter. If he didn't get hurt in football, he would have been Cam Scataboo at Arizona State.
What was he there? The placeholder?
Running people over. Wow.
Now
we gather here today at the funeral of Michael Samter.
I defend Ack all the time. I love Ack. And here he is just throwing shade.
Well, I had to do it for entertainment purposes. It's not
15 useless Samters. I love it.
So, out of 100, that's not bad. It's 15%. But, you got to figure you got a couple of red Samters there.
Man.
And you got to, again, you got a couple of hey, you want a piece of me? And, like, I think all those guys are going to gang up. And I think, if they plan it right, they got a shot.
I would say that Ack could hold the grudge and Samter could hold the grudge. I'm very curious when Samter is going to let go of this grudge now that he has up against Ack. He's not even looking. Looking at Ack right now. He's so disgusted with what's going on. All righty, let's get the latest update in. Here is a man that just murdered Michael Samter. Oh, I put him in a body bag. Goodbye, Samter. Hello, Rich Ackerman. And hello to the latest Affinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, let's listen up to Joe Mazzulla. He always has interesting encounters when he speaks to the media. You can never tell if they're winning or losing. Well, they lost last night. The team missed 45 threes, and they were ice cold after having a big lead up by 20 at one point in the third and fourth quarter. Here's Joe Mazzulla on the dry spell from the Celtics.
Probably a combination of both. Have to have better play calling, have to make shots, have to make some better reads. So it's probably a combination of all those things. Yeah, have to be better.
Really learned a lot from that one. Here is Jaylen Brown on the team missing a record 45 three-pointers.
Some of them felt good. Some of them felt like we maybe forced the issue. Definitely our rhythm and our timing was a little bit off. We got a lot of great looks, but it may be some truth to that. We got to look at the film and see kind of what happened in that second half.
And let's continue on the Celtics approach where, let's be real, they weren't looking for any twos in that game. Jason Tatum, did they settle for just those three-point attempts?
Probably some times that we settled, I think for myself, could have put more pressure on the rim. But, there was a lot of times we felt like we got some really, really good looks. We just couldn't convert. Obviously, in hindsight, if we could go back, we probably would drive the ball a little bit more because we missed a lot of shots tonight. But, there's a balance sometimes to make or mislead. And then there's sometimes where, you can get a better shot.
And finally, here is Jaylen Brown saying that the Celtics couldn't stop the Knicks' momentum.
Yeah, in those moments when the other team got momentum, we can't just fire up threes. To break up momentum, you got to get to the free throw line, get to the paint, get to the basket, maybe get a easy two, hit some free throws, and then maybe the next three-pointer feels a little bit better. I feel like we just settled in the second half a lot. But we'll look at it. And we'll make adjustments.
I was intently listening to all four of those answers. You had two from Jaylen Brown, one for Jason Tatum, one for Joe Mazzulla. That last one was the only one I liked from Jaylen Brown. Because at least it was an acknowledgement. Like, go get twos, right? Go to the free throw line. All the other stuff, didn't really sound all that convincing. And you look at the Celtics last night, you almost wanted to shake them like, hey, go drive. Get to the free throw line. Have some hard takes to the basket. It's amazing that they just never did that. Here's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Thunder blew the game last night. The Nuggets are up 1-0. Here's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the game one loss.
It should be good. It should be fun. We're going to find out what we're made of, what we're really made of. And we couldn't expect it to be smooth sailing this whole journey. No journey in life is, and we know that. Today is a bump in the road, unexpected. No one expects to lose, especially that way. But it's the game of life, so. It's about how you respond to getting knocked down, and that's what we got to do next game.
Now, all this stuff is basically cliche. Mazzulla, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. At least Shai Gilgeous-Alexander sounds confident. Now, the other three guys are NBA champions. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's going to be MVP of the league this year, but he's not an NBA champion yet. I kind of like what I heard from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'd be a little bit surprised if the Thunder don't find a way to grab game two and make that series all tied up at one apiece. Here's Aaron Gordon. Did he know the shot was in when he took it down one, made the three, and the Nuggets stole game one?
When I shot it, did I know it was in? I knew it wasn't a miss.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mark Dagnall, the reason why the Nuggets were in that position is because he started fouling up three way too early. And you had Chet Holmgren miss two free throws as well that could have given them once again another three-point lead. Here's Mark Dagnall on his late-game fouling strategy.
The fouling up three, that's on me. I think given the foul and getting the foul executed is critical. So if there's something to be learned from that, it's probably giving it too early on my part. But that's not on the players. They're executing what I'm telling them to do.
Yeah, he's 100% right. I thought it was way too early. I like that he at least acknowledged. Dagnall and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I like what I heard from both of them. The Celtics, I didn't really like what I heard from them after the game. Now, the Celtics will come back. I think they'll still win the series. I hope they don't. But I don't like what I'm hearing from Boston. The Thunder, I like what I'm hearing even after losing a game like that, especially when you have an inexperienced group and you're wondering if they're going to be able to recover from that. I'll tell you right now, I got to look at what the gambling line is. I'm betting the Thunder in game two. Draymond Green calls out Dylan Brooks. This is on the Draymond Green Show.
Dylan Brooks ran off the court. So when I say you see what guys is made of, he ran off the court. Like, ain't shake nobody up. You admitted that you was trying to hurt Steph Hand, which, again, fine by me, bro. Like, I get it. We all get it when you hoop. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to be on that type of time,
He got to be on that time all the time. He got to be on that time all the time.
You going to be talking. You going to be Mr. Big Bad Wolf. Don't lose and then not face the music. Don't be that guy. Because, again, you lose a lot of respect for guys in that moment. But that's who Dylan Brooks is. You know what I'm saying? And we understand, like, you a sucker, man. You like, don't be like that because you lose respect. When guys lose respect for you in this league, it don't matter and it's going to catch you in the end. Nobody on the court respects you.
A sucker is a good insult, I will say. Finally, Justin Jefferson, Bleacher Report, calls out QB needy teams passing on Shedeur Sanders.
I think it's crazy that he dropped that far in the draft. I definitely don't think, you know, he should have dropped that far. And just watching him the previous seasons and seeing the different things that he did at, you know, Colorado, I definitely thought that he should have been drafted in that first, second round. I guess it's just more fire for him and more chip on his shoulder that he can use going into the league.
Where do you think he should have gone?
I mean, New York doesn't really have a quarterback. Steelers, Cleveland definitely does need a quarterback also.
I kind of don't disagree with him. I thought there were a lot of teams that passed on Shedeur. Even when the Browns were passing for a while before taking him, I thought was a mistake right there. Did we have an end result in the soccer game? Has that ends the news brief? Do we know who won?
Yes, Inter Milan won 7-6.
Wow. My day's now ruined. Barcelona lost. FC Barcelona, right?
That's right. Yep.
That's disappointing. Are you upset about that, Samter?
You know what FC stands for?
Football club, right?
Wow, look at this
guy. All right.
Trying to show Football me up club. On my own show. All right. I don't even recognize that voice. I thought Samter died today on the air after what Ack did to him.
99 more of me are coming after you.
One squash. Ryan Collins, thank you. Stu, thank you. Samter, thank you. Ack, thank you. And a big thank you to each and every one of you. We'll talk tomorrow, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Bye-bye. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.